today, and we're going to wander a little bit to a few different passages, but start out in 1 Corinthians. Might be a little rough today, and so we can handle it, though. And so I think that's something we just need to hit on in our society, hidden in our lives. And it can be offensive, it can be harsh, but I do think it's biblical, I do think it's vital. I think it's something that needs to be faced and dealt with. And I think we're going to just look at what the Word says there and just kind of say what He says and look at what it applies to in our life. 1 Corinthians and chapter 6 is where I'll be. And I'll start at verse 12 and I'll read through verse 20. It says, "All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient." In this passage, we'll read another one where he says this also. He's not under the Old Testament law anymore. He can do a lot of things. He doesn't have to, like certain animals you couldn't eat. Well, now you could eat those animals. Acts 12 talks about that and things like that. There's a bunch of ceremonial things he doesn't have, he can do or not do. But he says, they're lawful for me to do, but it doesn't mean it's good that I do it. And there's a lot of things that aren't necessarily wrong, but they aren't good for you to do, and there's some reasons for that. And one of them is right here. "And all things are not expedient," is helpful. "All things are lawful unto me, but I will not be brought under the power of any." That's the whole thing we're going to focus on, that phrase right there. "I will not be brought under the power of any. Meats for the belly and the belly for meats, but God shall destroy both it and them. Now the body is not for fornication, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. And God hath both raised us up, up the Lord, and will also raise us up by his own power. Know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ?" You're part of Christ, body parts. "And shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of an harlot? God forbid. What? Know ye not that he which is joined to an harlot is one body, and two, saith he, shall be made one flesh?" When he says, in this whole context here, and I'll be sensitive because we have kids here, he says Corinth was Amsterdam. It was this terrible, it was Las Vegas. It was this sin city. It was this immoral city. And these Christians didn't understand that fornication, that sex outside of marriage is terrible. And it says even with harlots, with prostitutes, and it says, "Don't you know that when two are joined together in the physical act of marriage, the two become one flesh?" That's the act of marriage. Not the acts outside of marriage. "And shall you take Christ's part of Christ and join it to a harlot?" Shall you take your body, which is a part of Christ, and join it together in the physical act with in sexual immorality? He says, "That's how dare you?" He says, "No, you're not. He was joined to the harlot is one body, for two, they said, shall be one flesh, but he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. Flee fornication. You do not resist sexual immorality. You flee from it. It's too strong of a desire, especially in an over-sexualized society that we live in. You run. You flee. You stay miles from it. You're not alone. You're not in a place of temptation. You have blocks on. I mean, you run. Yeah, that's what the Bible says. Flee fornication. Now, because it's a little different. Sexual sin. Okay, fornication is a broad word of sexual sin. Underneath fornication is adultery, is homosexuality, is pornography. Fornication is sexual things outside of marriage. Anything. Outside of one man, one woman married, fornication, any sexual thing is fornication. Now there's adultery when you're married and you're with another person. All those things are adultery, but fornication is just flee it. Flee fornication, because sexual sins are a little different. Okay? I want you to get that real quick. It took me a while of pastoring before I didn't understand the Bible teaching on it. I never really heard it preached and taught before. As a pastor, I saw it and then learned it, and then I found out later the Bible also says that sexual sins are a little different. When it talks about sexual sins, there's a lot of sins that you do that are outside, okay? But sexual sins, the Bible says, it does more damage to you. It says every sin that a man doeth is without the body. But there's something about sexual sins that the Bible says, he that committeth adultery destroyeth his own soul. When I first started the church, and we got some families coming to church, they weren't families, they weren't married. I had five couples in my church. I didn't have one married couple. They were all living together. That's just where we started as a church, and that's we're fine and patient with people and stuff like that. But it's sin. And I watched all of them. I've never seen, and I've been doing ministry a long time, I've never seen somebody who lives together keep on serving God. Because it destroys their soul, the Bible says. It ruins your spirituality. It ruins your soul. You're committing adultery. You're committing fornication. And it does something to your soul. And don't tell me we just live together and don't do anything. Okay? Then you're weird. Okay? Then you have other problems. You're not normal. That's wicked. And abstain from all appearance of evil, by the way. And so sexual immorality destroys your soul. And this verse says, flee fornication, every sin that a man doeth with his without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? You're that sacred building where God lives. Why is it that somebody wouldn't go into church and cuss and get drunk and commit adultery inside a church, not realizing their body is a temple of God? You're taking God's temple where he lives and dwells. By the way, I believe that biblically the temple in the Bible was more sacred and holy than a local church today. If you took immorality into the temple of God, you died in the spot. If that happened at Open Door, we'd need a bunch of caskets in the back. Okay? And in churches in general, I just Open Door. Why? Because it was a very sacred building. And your body is where God dwells. You're the temple of God. Do not bring it into fornication. That's what God says. If you get mad at that, don't take it with me. I didn't say it. Talk to him about it. And that's what he said. What? Know you not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own? You are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and spirit. They're God's. Let's go ahead and pray, and we haven't even got to the hard part yet. So let's go ahead and pray, and we'll get to it. Father, thank you for the chance to preach your word. I pray that thy spirit would control. I would not say anything I shouldn't say, and I'd say what I should say, Lord. And I pray that your Holy Spirit would control us. Control our minds, speak to us. Not control, Father, control me and say what you want said, but speak to us powerfully, Lord, so we will decide to control ourselves and think the right thoughts and do the right things, Lord. I pray you'd empower me now and just move me out of the way and bring yourself and your word forward, Lord, and speak powerfully in Jesus' name. Amen. Paul said, I'm not under the law, but I will not be controlled by anything. He refers to two things in this. First thing he refers to is meats. Now understand that in the Old Testament, the Jewish diet, there's a bunch of things you could not eat and a bunch of laws and a bunch of things you couldn't have. And a lot of them you wouldn't want anyway. There are a few that we have today. A lot of them are creepy crawly things you wouldn't eat anyway. But some of them were things like pig. And I thank God we can eat pig now. I like pig in many forms. Bacon and ham and sausage, and I don't even know what other forms there are, but let's try them. But he said, you know, so what happened is meats was a big issue in the New Testament, because what would happen is not only was there forbidden meats that now they're allowed to eat and some Christians weren't comfortable with it because they were Jewish, but there was also meats that were, they would take an animal to an idolatrous temple, a temple to Zeus or a temple to Diana, and they would sacrifice these animals to these gods, and then they'd take the meat and sell it at the market. And many Christians said, we cannot eat that. It was sacrificed to an idol. And Paul said, you know, God can cleanse anything, and you can eat the meat. It's okay. But if somebody's sensitive to it, and another believer says, I can't eat that, then don't eat it around. Don't offend them. And he says, now, the meats are fine. They're not fine. It doesn't matter. He says, I'm able to give up those meats if it's going to offend a brother. I'm able to not worry about that meat if it's going to hurt somebody. If I'm going to go preach to a bunch of Jews and I'm eating ham and they're all going to not listen to me preach the gospel, he says, I will not eat meat as long as the world liveth, because I will not be brought under the power of anything. I will not say, I just got to have it. I'm going to eat it. Well, I don't care what they want. I want it. He says, nothing is going to control me. Second thing he mentions, and I won't turn all the verses, but the meats, we're in 1 Corinthians. Let's turn a couple of verses there. Chapter 8, and I'll just briefly hit on it. And verse 13. And just talks briefly about meat. Wherefore, if meat make my brother to offend, I will eat no meat while the world standeth, lest I make my brother to offend. He says, I won't take another bite of meat if it's going to hurt. Meat is not in control of me. I won't be brought in the power of anything. I won't eat it. It's no big deal. I can get rid of it tomorrow. Then chapter 10. And verse 23, similar language. All things are lawful to me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. Let no man seek his own, but every man another's wealth. So he says, I'm going to do, even if I'm allowed to do something, I'm not going to do it if it's going to hurt. And the second thing he talks about, first he talks about meat. The second thing we just talked about, he talked about fornication. I'm not going to be brought in the power of anything. He talks about both of them in one verse. Verse 13, meats for the belly and the belly for meats. But God will destroy them, both it and them. The meat and my body are both going to be gone someday. It's not that big a deal. Now, the body is not for fornication, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. So he says, I'm not going to be brought to the power of any. Meats aren't going to control me. Fornication is not something I'm going to be involved with. I will not be brought under the power of any. We must be in control of ourselves so the Lord can have us. Bible says in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is a reasonable service. We're supposed to give our bodies a willing, living sacrifice to God. God, here's my life. Here's my body. Take it, I give it to you. But in order to give yourself to God, you must have yourself. How many hundreds of times over the years have I had people say to me, I want to serve God, I want to change my life, but I just can't. I'm not strong enough. I can't stop doing this. I can't do this. Why? Because you have the heart and the desire, and that's wonderful and important. But I want to say it's real important. Having the heart and the desire does not make you spiritual. You've got to do the actions. And in order to do the actions to give yourself to God, you must have a hold of yourself. Can you imagine if you wanted to give God a sacrifice of a lamb and you weren't very fast than the lamb was? And you're chasing the lamb around and chasing it. Come here, Dolly, come here. I got something special for you. It's called sacrifice. But you want to sacrifice Dolly, but you can't catch Dolly. You can't give Dolly to God if you can't catch Dolly. You can't give yourself to God if you can't control yourself. I will not be brought under the power of any. We must be in control of ourselves so the Lord can have us. We can present ourselves to God when we are in control of ourselves. When we cannot control ourselves, whether in this case it's not eating meat that's going to offend or whether it's fornication. He says, if you cannot resist it, if you cannot control yourself, Paul says, not me. I will not be brought under the control of anything except for God. And I will give myself to him freely, but nothing's going to control me in life. The Bible says that we are not to be brought under control of things in many ways. I'm going to read you, we're going to give you five different ways God says the same things. Don't let anything be in control of you. And I'll try to hurry through it so I can apply it. Number one, you are not your own. You're supposed to glorify God with your body. In other words, it's not what you want to do because you are not your own. When you got saved and accepted Jesus, and if you haven't done that, today's a good day to get saved, accept Christ. Let him forgive your sins and give you a home in heaven. If you've never done that, once you accept Christ, though, you belong to God. He bought you with his blood, with his death of his son. He paid the price for us. He says this, verse 19, which ye have of God, ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's. You're supposed to not be doing what you want to do because you are not your own. You belong to God. God purchased you. This is not my body. It's God's. If God chooses to take me next week and to get me in some kind of danger and get me something terrible happens in Haiti, but that's going to further his kingdom, that's perfectly fine. It's not my body. It's his body. My body is to be used for him, not for me. I'm supposed to eat what he wants me to eat. Okay? I'm supposed to live the way he wants me to live. I'm supposed to act like he wants me to act. I'm supposed to put in my body and to use my body for what he wants. I am not my own. I'm supposed to glorify the Lord with my body. My body isn't mine. So I'm supposed to not be under control of anything else. My body doesn't belong to some other woman. Okay? My body does not belong to Jack Daniels. My body does not belong to gluttony and to food, to do whatever it wants to do with my body. Those things are not to tell me what I'm going to do, and I'm just some weak bystander that says, well, I just couldn't resist. No, it's God's body. It's not what I want. It's not something else to control it. I belong to God. Number two, another way God says this is God says, possess yourself. Let's look at our memory verse, Luke 21. Short verse, powerful words. Context is also important in this verse. He's talking about terrible tribulation. Luke 21. You're supposed to possess yourself. Luke 21, verse 19. It says, in your patience, possess ye your souls. Now, what's the context of that? Luke 21 and look at verse 14. Settle it therefore in your hearts not to meditate before which you shall answer, for I'll give your mouth wisdom, and your adversaries will not be able to gainsay against you. And ye shall be betrayed both by parents and brethren and kinfolks and friends. And some of you shall be caused to be put to death. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. And in the middle of that, he says, in your patience, possess your souls. In your, we know what patience is now, don't we? In your looking forward to, your patiently enduring with happiness, knowing heaven's coming. When they're putting you on trial and your own family is accusing you and trying to get you killed. I mean, your brother or mom or sister, and they are trying to get you killed. You possess your soul and don't answer wrong. And stay under control, and don't deny me. The word possess is powerful. The word possess means to acquire something. Acquire your soul. By the way, you ever think what demon possession is? It's when a demon acquires you. Well, who's supposed to acquire you? You. What does that mean? It means you tell your body, you ain't doing that. I'm under control here. I'm under control of my body. I'm under control of my mind. I'm controlling my eyes. I am under control. 1 Thessalonians 4:4 says the same thing. It says, possess yourselves unto sanctification and honor. Acquire yourselves. Well, I just couldn't resist. Then you're not possessing yourself. You don't have to be a victim to anything you don't want to. God can give you victory. But you got to get control of yourself. Possess yourself is another way he says it. I will not be brought under the power of any. Another way he says it. Bring your body into subjection. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Bring your body into subjection. Paul worked very hard on this. He's the one who said, I'll not be brought under the power of any. And he says, look how hard I work to make it so that I'm under control of myself. 1 Corinthians 9:26. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. I bring my body into subjection. I grab it and say, body, you're not going to do this. You're going to do this. I make my body obey me. I don't just obey my body. Well, how would you just obey your body? How about this? You're full, but you can't stop eating. Who's in control? You or your body? I wish when I got full, my tongue would quit tasting. But the food still tastes good when I'm full. I like it still. I mean, listen, when you go into Old Country Buffet, you better possess yourself. Or you're gonna go back for another trip. You're gonna need to buy a plane ticket. You're taking so many trips up there. And you're not possessing yourself. Your food is saying, you gotta have one more dessert. Look, free ice cream, get another cone. Possess yourself. I'm talking to Baptist. How do you stop eating when you're still when you still taste good? It's called you're under control. Listen, I like to eat. I'm there's just times when I just got to say, you know what? I've eaten enough. There's times I got to lose weight. I'm going on a missions trip. I got to be in shape. I find myself getting less healthy because I'm eating junky food. I have a terrible appetite. I'll eat junk food all day, every day. But then I start, no energy. God, I've got things to do. I've got to decide, there's things more important than me liking the taste of it. You got to possess yourself. You're bringing your body into subjection. You got to start telling your body you're going to do this. By the way, tell your body you're going to get up in the morning when you got things to do. How about your body doesn't tell you, I ain't getting up? Push that snooze button again. If you know exactly to the millimeter where that, if you can do this to your snooze button, then you've hit that thing too many times. You know what you should do? So you know what, body? You are controlling everything I do. You're telling me you're not going to get up. You make me late. You make me do this. You know, my body's telling me what it's going to do. Tomorrow, body, you get up at 5 in the morning. And you tell somebody in the house, pour cold water on me if I don't get up. And if your body doesn't like it, then later, say, body, you're taking a cold shower. Your body says, I don't like that. You say, good, because I'm bringing you into subjection. You're going to learn I'm going to control you. And you're not eating breakfast today. You know why? Because you want the breakfast too bad, and I always do what you want. Every time you want to stop, you can't stop eating donuts. Every time you want something, you eat it. Every time you want to say something, it blurts out of your mouth because I can't control you, body. I'm going to start controlling you, body. I'm going to tell you what you're going to do. You're not going to eat today if you don't knock it off, body. You know, don't say these things out loud. People think you're crazy. But you bring your body into subjection. You tell your body what it's going to do. You acquire yourself. And you will find, he says, I die daily, Paul said. He says, mortify therefore your members, Romans 8 says, that are upon the earth. Mortify, put them to death. Your body should not be in control of you and you just live to the lust of your appetites. How about you stop and pray, Lord, should I have dessert? And be able to say no if you don't feel peace about it. How about this? How about you get so in control that when you don't have money, you don't go buy fast food even though you want it? Boy, I'm glad there's no tomatoes in here today. How about if you don't have any money, you don't go buy Starbucks? $4. Say, I couldn't make it. That's right, because you're not under control. You're brought under the power of a little brown cup. No, it's not brown with us. It's cream, you know, 75 ingredients. But you know what? You're brought under control. Okay, I've already hit on coffee in Seattle. I can do anything now. And so you bring your body into subjection. Where else does God say that? He says, be sober. 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, be vigilant. The word sober means not drunk, thinking clearly, under control. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, to be filled with the Spirit. Why be sober? Be soberly vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. If you aren't thinking clearly and bringing your mind into subjection, as the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 10, bringing every thought into the obedience of the mind of Christ. If you're not bringing your thoughts, you're controlling what you think about. You're of a sober mind. Many verses I could read about sober. Titus 2:12, 1 Thessalonians 5, 6 through 8. Lots of things God talks about that. You are bringing you're under a sober mind. Let me read you something. I have an article here. This is an article. These are terrible. They're funny to me. NFL players warn rookies, stop spending. Okay? Who wouldn't want to be Jadeveon Clowney? NFL's top draft pick just landed about $22 million contract with the Houston Texans. But while Clowney is and hundreds of NFL rookies know a lot about football, they know little about managing their money and are very likely to end bankrupt. Just 2 years after their athletic careers, 78% of former NFL players are bankrupt or almost bankrupt, according to analysis by Sports Illustrated. I made millions and lost millions, admitted Eddie George. He was a first-round pick in 1996, went on to play 9 seasons in the NFL as a running back. I bought tons of jewelry coming out, cars, a stereo system that was worth more than the car, George says. I found out real quick that money and ignorance is not a good combination. He was once in a shop in Atlanta and was so excited they had gator shoes that fit size 14 feet that he bought 20 pairs. He's not sure he ever wore any of them. Why? How can somebody who makes $30 million in their career be bankrupt 2 years after they're done? No control. A person can make $40,000 a year and have money left over and not be bankrupt. Why? Because they control themselves. Jamarcus Russell was the number one pick, and within 4 years, he made $38 million in 3 years. He was foreclosed upon in the fourth year. Out of the NFL and no money. He blew $38 million in 3.5 years. And by the way, just to show out of control, his team cut him and nobody else would sign him because he got so fat. Why? Because he couldn't control himself. Millions of dollars on the line. Why? Because people can't control themselves. Many people would be very bad for them to get much money. Why? Because they are not sober people who can control themselves. Everybody thinks, oh, if I had money, I'd control it. Yeah. You're already so overconfident. By the way, you're looking at a guy here who'd be very afraid to have a lot of money. You say, you must be greedy. You would not think I'm greedy if you watched my life, but I just don't overestimate myself. And I know the power of money and what it does to people. I'd start giving away a bunch quick. I'd pay some things off and then give away. Try me. I'll do it. I'll prove it to you. Why? Because you've got to have control of yourself. Money controls people. How does it say it? It says you're not your own. It says possess yourself. It says you bring your body into subjection. It says be sober. It says have temperance. Galatians 5:22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness, faith, temperance. The word temperance literally means self-control. Temperance is self-control. It's a fruit of the Spirit. You bring yourself under control. You control what you do. You decide when you get up. You decide what you eat. You decide how you spend your money. Not your desires. Not your flesh. Not what I just couldn't resist. You decide what you say to somebody, not you just had to say it. If you had to say it, you're not under control. How about you say, you know what? I want to cuss this person out. My body's screaming to cuss them out and yell at them and tell them off. But you know what? Body, you don't got control of this. You're not going to say a word. Zip it. Then the person mocks you more and you just look at them. Say, you know what? Body, you're going to tell them you love them right now. I love you. That's because you control yourself, not your passions and desire and your fleshly evil desires just say, you're going to do this. And you say, okay, I can't stop you. I'll go eat that. I'll go do this. I'll go drink that. Because you're a slave to your body. Your body tells you what to do. Your desires. A donut's more powerful than you. I haven't got donuts for weeks. That's why I'm saying this. I'm hoping there's one left over. You control. You decide. You're temperate. You're under control. You ready? It's what's wrong with all addictions. Yeah, that's right, Pastor. Preaching those drug addicts. All addictions. Anything that controls you is wrong, even if it's not wrong. Now, where we started, Paul said, I can eat the meats. It's lawful to me, but I'm not going to get bought on the power of any. Anything that you cannot resist, anything that you have to have, anything that tells you what to do is sin. You're not temperate. You're not under control. And it's an addiction. Oh, donuts can't be an addiction. If you can't stop eating them, they can be. I worked at Dunkin' Donuts. The police were all addicts. But I used to work in Dunkin' Donuts. And we got to give them free donuts. And they took them. You can be addicted. You can be an addict to a lot of things. There are people addicted to things nowadays that are so far out there. Hey, listen, you don't think people are addicted to video games? You don't know any gamers who don't work anymore, live in mom's basement? Okay, they're out there. They're addicted, and it's wrong. It's wrong to be addicted to drugs and alcohol. Legal or illegal? If you don't know, there is a scourge of legal prescribed addictions. And if a doctor prescribes it to you and you still have to take it all the time, or you get withdrawals, or you get nervous, and you got to keep taking them, it's called addiction, and it's a sin. I don't care if the doctor gave it to you. You still aren't temperate. It's everywhere. There are more people dying in King County last year by far. 61% of addictions in overdoses last year were legal prescriptions in King County. Legal. And I'm not saying you take insulin for your diabetes. You know, that's not what I'm talking about. You take a heart medicine to keep your heart. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about Oxycontin, oxycodone. I'm talking about those things. I'm talking methadone. Okay, I'm in counsel. I counsel people with these things. And by the way, that's a heavy, strong addiction. It's opiate addictions. It's brutal to get off of. I know you hurt, but you better stop sometimes so you're not addicted. And fix, you've got to stop being addicted to legal or illegal. And by the way, can I get rid of this myth? Well, a doctor prescribed pot to me. Okay, so you're a pothead, drug addict, but your doctor said it's okay. Did you know that were the biggest toxin in cigarettes, one of them is ammonia? Did you know pot has 20 times more ammonia than cigarettes? You think that's good for your health? It's got more toxin, it's worse for your health than cigarettes, plus it fries your brain. You can take a pill if you need cannabis. Okay? The ingredients in the pot, you can get from a pill, but everybody wants to smoke it for some reason. All addictions are wrong. By the way, I grew up in a pot-smoking family. Okay? I breathe in marijuana regularly from going to people's houses and they open their door. Okay, that's, I'm in those houses. And legal or illegal, any addiction is wrong. Amen? Legal or illegal? Food addictions. Can't stop eating. Can't control yourself. I'm not saying, hey, no, I'm not, go eat soy and eat a soy spinach burger. I'm not saying, nothing wrong. Go eat you a, eat a steak, and I mean, what, but you decide to. And when you decide to stop, you stop. And when you've had too much, you add too much. And don't supersize everything. And don't spend money you don't have on food. If you don't have any money, you buy beans and rice for Monday, and Tuesday you have rice and beans. And on Wednesday you switch to beans and rice. Then Thursday you go to rice and beans. And you know what? You can drink water and you'll survive. And you can even drink it out of the sink if you don't have money. I only drink bottled water. You can drink it out of the sink. There are people in Haiti, I promise you, when I go there, that would drink your tap water and survive. If you don't have money, why? Because you have spending addictions. And you got to have the nicest new clothes. Buy them at Goodwill in 3 months if you don't have money. And pay $5 instead of 75. If you have money, buy whatever you want. But you got to be under control. You're addicted to credit. We have pornography addictions. Ooh, next one. I'm going to duck. You ready? Television. You don't even decide to turn it on. You sit down and start reaching for a remote. You don't choose to turn it on. You just turn it on. And you can't even, when somebody comes to the house, you can't even turn it off to be courteous and talk to somebody. Because you're addicted to your television. I grew up in a television-addicted home, and we had network TV and bunny ears. But you know what? That TV never turned off. It was just had to be the noise in the background. And you got to watch it all the time. Television addiction. Listen, you decide if you should watch this and if it's good to watch, not just click and see what's on. I'm not addicted to TV. Awesome. Good. Don't watch it this week. If you're not an addict, you can give it up this week. No problem, right? Right? Coffee addiction. I remember I came to Seattle. I did not understand coffee, the coffee addiction here. I had a guy come to church. I just noticed these little stands in every corner. I had a guy come to church, and he told me, one time he was talking to me, he says, Pastor, he says, I got to have my coffee. He says, I drink 36 cups a day. I drink 3 pots. I told him, man, I says, terrible for you. He says, not terrible for me. He says, it helps me a lot. It gets rid of my headaches. If you don't know, when you're addicted to caffeine, when you don't have it, you get headaches. Okay? And it's amazing how that the heroin gets rid of the guy's shakes, too. It helps him. And listen, I love coffee. Give me a Starbucks card, I'll use it. And I like coffee. I don't drink it every day. I drink it 5 days a week. Why do you drink it 5 days a week? So I don't get addicted. I don't drink it on Sunday because it makes me cough. I don't know why coffee makes me cough. I said it's coffee. And coffee makes me cough. But I don't drink coffee on Sunday because it makes me cough and I can't speak as well. It's not good for my throat. I don't drink it. I usually one of the day a week won't drink it just to make sure I don't get addicted to it. And every once in a while, I just won't drink it for several days. I'm not going to be brought in the power of any. And so, boy, I didn't get a single amen on that. Internet addiction. Oh boy, it's going to be a lonely week next Sunday. That's right, I can go to Haiti. I won't even know it's empty. And there we go. Internet addiction. I could stop any time. Good. Don't watch it. Don't get on it for a day. Well, my friends on Facebook need to talk to me, message me, and I need to check my email. I know. I've been dealing with addictions for 29 years. I've been dealing with people with addictions. I know what they say. I can stop at any time, but... That's the same thing an alcoholic says to me. I can stop any time, but I got to have... Listen, I sat there in the last year, sat with a person, methadone addict, and said, listen, I make way more money when I'm a methadone. I can't stop. I got to support my family, don't I? I got to check my Facebook. I got to check my email. I never know when, you know, the Secretary of Defense is going to ask me, Russia's invading, what should they do? I mean, I got to check it all the time. Why do you push refresh all day? Who cares? Do you realize the level you've come to when you sit there and read your friend and they say, I'm bored today. What should I do? I think that you should go and see the... Do you realize what your life's come to? Stop. Video game addiction. Smartphone addiction. It's an amazing thing. You leave your house, you get in your car, you drive down the road, you're in a hurry, and all of a sudden you go, you park your car, get in your car, start your car, turn around, go back home, because you forgot your Bible. Right? You forgot your Bible, and you got to have your Bible that day, right? Or was it your cell phone that you panicked about? They've got to come up with some term for this, for the cell phone pat down. Make it a dance or something. Let's do the cell phone dance. Why? Because you forgot your cell phone, and you got to have it. Why are we addicted to a cell phone? You know what you should do. If this is your life all the time, whenever you're not doing something important, your IQ is dropping by the minute. You know what you should do? There's this button, it's right down here, and it's the off button. You do have one of those. And you push, it's not just end. You push it and you hold it down, and you leave it off. When we went to the Philippines, we're gone 12 days. And we didn't bring our cell phones. And you know what everybody said? I don't miss that thing at all. But you'll think you'll miss it because you're addicted. You're addicted. You know what some people need to do? You need to have a technology-free week. Turn off your internet. Turn off your computer. Turn off your television. Turn off your cell phone. Check your cell phone once a day in case... God forbid somebody died you love and there's an emergency or something like that. Turn them all off for a week and find out what you're addicted to. Start off with a day. Be easy on it, on yourself. 24 hours. There's a thing called a breaker box in your house. And you can turn things off. Turn your power off. See what happens. See if you get the shakes. You might discover you have other people in your home. You're my kid? Really? I've seen you around here before. Why? Because we are addicted to technology. But I will not be brought under the power of any. My cell phone is not going to tell me you have to listen to me and check my message every 5 minutes. Somebody texts you, you have to text them back. No, I'm not going to be brought under the power of any. Possess yourselves. That's what's wrong with addictions. Drugs, alcohol, all these things. It's you got to do it. Sleep. You got to sleep. No problem. You need technology. No problem. Your job requires you to have technology. Okay, have that at work, but then decide you're going to go without some things too. And when you're not working, turn it off. Find out what you're addicted to and get control of it is the point. It's how you keep your tongue. I mean, let's go to Proverbs for a second. We'll turn there. All right. Proverbs. It's how you keep your tongue is by being under control. If you say everything your body says you need to say, you will say some really things you really regret. Proverbs 21 and verse 23. Proverbs 21:23. Whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue keepeth his soul from troubles. How many of your mouth gets you in trouble sometimes? I know mine does. Why? Because your mouth is telling you what it's going to say instead of you saying, let me think about this. The Bible says, be slow to speak while you think about it. Should I say this? I'm still back at coffee. Wonder if I should have said that. But you think about it and should you say it? Proverbs 25. It's how you keep your tongue is by you being under control of it. Proverbs 25 and 28. He that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city broken down without walls. You just lose your temper. You're like a city without walls. You can get attacked from every direction. You be in control. You decide when you get angry. You know there's nothing wrong getting angry when you decide when you're going to get angry. Jesus got angry in the temple money changers. You're under control, though, and you decide you're going to do this with your anger. And you decide when you get angry. And you decide who you're going to hang around, who will or won't get you angry. You are in control. You're possessing your souls. Edmund Hillary, the man, first man who climbed Mount Everest, who did a lot in a lot harder way than the rest of them have done it before, have done it since. He said, it is not the mountain that we conquer, but ourselves. Give all of these things up occasionally. Find out what is telling you you have to do it. If your tongue says you've got to say these things, you can't control your tongue, then you decide, you know what? I'm not going to say anything today at work. Unless I'm asked a question, has to do it for work. I'm going to go home and I'm going to not say anything but good things while I'm home. You tell your tongue what it's going to do. You get back control of your tongue. You get back. Your body says, I don't want to read a Bible. You say, tough luck, pal. You don't decide what I do. You're reading your Bible today. That's what you do. I'm too tired to pray. Your body says, go to sleep, go to sleep. You say, yeah, okay, yes, sir. Miss Bob, I'm tired. I'm going to go to sleep. When you needed to do something responsible during that time, you were something you're supposed to be doing. You hadn't prayed yet that day. You hadn't read your Bible. You need to go tell your wife how much you loved her. You need to do something important, but your body just said, you got to do this. And let's say you have to sleep. I understand that. I get that stuff. I'm not saying you don't have to have some of you need a computer for your job, and some of you need the internet for your work. And I understand all these things, and I'm not against these things. I'm against addiction to things where you are not in control anymore. When you no longer have temperance and you no longer tell your body what it's going to do, but it tells you what it's going to do. Technology in the world tells you, you got to do this. Your body says, I don't want to get up in the morning, so you don't come to church. You tell your body, no, you're not in control anymore. I die daily. I'm going to give this up, not because it's wrong, but because it's too important to me and I can't give it to God. It keeps controlling my life. So I'm getting rid of it. And it could be something that's as innocent as anything. Something that's not wrong. Nothing wrong with coffee. Until coffee controls you. So you are going to go and you're going to say, you know what? I will not be brought under the power of any. And maybe my prayer today is the Holy Spirit saying to you, you know what? This thing is under control of you. It's not even bad. But for you it is. I had a lady who was addicted to television. She came to our church. She's a good lady. Couldn't stop. Got rid of a TV. Bought another one. Didn't want to buy another one. Rent a hotel room and just watch TV for 24 hours. Couldn't get over TV. Finally, they just had to make a vow. God, I'll never watch TV again. When we had videos at church, she wouldn't watch them. She said, I can't start anything. And so we would have to put her as a nursery worker, or she couldn't come when we were showing a video of a missions trip. What's wrong with that? What's wrong with the Christian video? What's wrong with the Christian movie? Nothing if you can control it. If you can control it. And by the way, if you can't control the internet, see, well, what am I going to do? How am I going to buy stuff? Go to the library. Can't control yourself. I will not be brought under the power of any. You can make excuses. You can say you got to have something. Just prove it. One day, one week. You've got to tell your body, not let your body grab you by the ear and say, you're going to go do this. I don't want to. Yes, you're going to do it. No,
I don't want any more. Yes, you do. Okay, I'll eat. Leave me alone.
Don't let your flesh. I will not be brought under the power of any. How about you? Is your body going to keep telling you, you're going to keep on having physical problems and spiritual problems and relational problems because your body just keeps on blowing it? Because your body says, I got to say this. And then you ruin a relationship. I'm too tired to go to church. Then you get messed up that week. I don't feel like reading the Bible. I'm busy. I want to go watch TV for a while. And you don't read your Bible. How about, sorry, body. I know you want that, but no. We're going without for a while, buddy. I'm grabbing you. Don't do this in front of people. And you go and you decide. And you tell your body, I'm in control now. My spirit, my soul are God's, not yours. The flesh has bad desires. I'm under control. I will not be brought under the power of any. How are you doing? In your control. Let's bow for prayer. Oh, Father, we preached what your word said there. Paul said, all things are lawful, but not expedient. I will not be brought under the power of any. And Lord, there's so many different ways you say we've got to bring our bodies into subjection. We've got to get under control. And Lord, there's somebody here who's no doubt an alcoholic or a drug addict. And Lord, we're glad they're here. Lord, there's somebody else who's can't get with their cell phone for 5 minutes. They can't turn it off in church. They can't, when they're talking to a friend, they can't turn it off. Lord, they're an addict too. Somebody else who sleep, they can't control their sleep. Their sleep controls them, tells them when they're going to bed, when they're getting up. They miss appointments. They don't do the things they should do because they can't control sleep. Lord, there's many things that can get us, Lord, that aren't even bad things. And I pray today we would not be brought under control of any. You would speak to us and show us what we need to do, whether it's control our tongues or control our sleep or control our technology or control our drugs, whatever it is, Lord, help us to be under control. And Lord, though we might need some of these things temporarily or we don't need them regularly, we can give them up at any time because they aren't our masters. You are. Help us to give our bodies and ourselves to you. We pray you'd help us in these things. In Jesus' name. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed.